Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
All right, welcome to the show, the Mitch Hanks Show on Facebook Live at MadisonTalks.com. We are in, not purgatory, we're kind of holding until we do some new things, which we're going to unveil shortly, so hang tough while we're on, because, well, a big announcement's coming soon, and we'll have something for everybody, actually. It's kind of a new world we're going into here with podcasting. Your favorite topic, something for everybody. Right now, though, kind of a sad topic with the eighth homicide spurring tension. You know, it's on the front page of the State Journal, but it's kind of lower, below the flap and on the right side. Talks about Michael Johnson of the Boys and Girls Club dropping out of this publicly funded anti-violence program, saying the city was too slow in addressing the problem. We've had homicides. December, 29-year-old man is found dead. Far West Side, being called the far Southwest Side, but I don't know. It's over there, Atterbury Lane, near Park Edge, Park Ridge, off of Gamut or McKenna. I think it's Gamut at that point. Not too far from the mall or from Woodman's. Jeez. But now joining us is Kaleem Carey, who was in charge of the Dane County Urban League for many years and now is heading up One City, an initiative to start preschools as we try to get to children when they're young so we can instill the values that are necessary to keep them out of this kind of trouble. Hello, Kaleem.
Hey, what's up, man?
Great to have you on. I read your very impassioned plea on Facebook talking about the need to have a school that we can help out with young people. Certainly you had fought for years to have Madison Prep, a school outside the public school union rules that would have encouraged more teachers of color and liaisons between the school staff and families. That was voted down. But you seem to go right for this need to get to children when they're very young.
You know, Mitch, you know, I've been having some really intense thoughts about this because we're not dealing with the fundamental challenge that these children or that these adults have experienced when they're younger. And because we keep coming to these issues with more rallies and more meetings and more forums and more, you know, if we just had enough money to do X, that's not what is going to solve this problem. And so one of the things that I posted yesterday was about that young man. When I looked at his eyes in the paper, the young man that was arrested and had a weapon on him, you know, I looked at his eyes and you could see fear and hurt, pain in his eyes. It was very clear. And it's funny because when you read further below, there was a woman who said, I actually work with this kid and he's a good kid, but he comes from the same sordid background that we all know about. And so why aren't we addressing those root cause issues of what do we got to do to strengthen these families that have given birth to these young people, raising these young people? You know, what do we have to do to ensure that those families are strong? And I made a video yesterday that we're going to do because I was so frustrated by it that I'm going to put out there as soon as it's ready. But in it, Mitch, I talked about, you know, first thing is, mom, dad, what are we doing, you know, with our kids? Are we doing enough for them? Because I can tell you, Mitch, I don't know many young people or black young men and women who have both their parents at home who, you know, their parents are getting along. You know what I'm saying? They're raising their kids well, who are out here carrying weapons. You know, I don't know many young people who, even if their parents aren't together, their parents aren't really engaged with them. I don't know many of those young people that are out here carrying weapons. And so, for me, the first thing is, what's going on in the lives of these families? And then second, you know, what can be done systemically to ensure that these families aren't experiencing traumas that the community can intervene with? So, for example, I know joblessness is why a lot of black men aren't at home. They can't get work. It goes traces back to their poor education, but somewhere that cycle has to be broken. How do we ensure that when young men apply for jobs, that there are people that will actually hire them. You know, how do we make sure that they have marketable skills? Can they invest in our programs at the Urban League?
No, I understand but getting to a gun death, I mean, there's a big leap between not feeling positive about a job or, you know, not having the credentials to get jobs and shooting and killing another human being, Khalid. I mean, it seems like this.
I was referring to the first post I made. I didn't.
Oh, okay.
The second post that I talked to you about, but I haven't put up there yet, was when I saw where the mayor is in the paper this morning said that we need to invest in more leaders in these neighborhoods. And I'm like, no. We need to do a lot more than that. The young people that are willing to shoot and kill somebody. Or older, whatever they are, they're hopeless, right? They don't believe in their own life, you know, enough.
Well, hopeless was a good word. I mean, if you
to want to, you know, to not take someone else's life, you know, so value is what I'm looking for.
I see.
They don't value their own life, and therefore don't value these others. But there's reasons why they've become that way. And my thing is, you know, if we're fighting the battle of trying to fight people who have guns and figure out how to keep guns out of their hands, people who are broken people are going to find ways to deal with their brokenness. They're going to be the ones who are out here committing these crimes.
Well, you're living a more desperate life, and you're on a desperate edge. Oh, I understand. You know, it's all relevant.
You know, and some of these young people don't have empathy. You know, they're like... I go back to the crack baby syndrome. You know, a lot of the young people that grew up on that were born in the late 80s through the 90s, and a lot of those young people, that one of the things crack does to babies is it takes away their empathy. It challenges their cognition. And so as they become adults, this is the kind of behavior that you would expect to see from a young person like that. And so how do we stop these things from happening? We got to go to the root cause. That's my point.
And we are talking to Khalid Kerr of One City Preschools and formerly of the Urban League, another death on the west side of Madison. You know, here's the thing that kind of frustrates me. The mayor will talk about gun shows and gun laws, and white liberals will talk about the factory that closed 10 years ago and all this. And conservatives will talk about lack of fathers and values and morals and the whole thing. But can't we just all use common sense on some of this stuff? I mean, you told me that your aunt was huge in your upbringing, right, as you were a young person?
That's right.
So if you don't have a father, which we all need, then one significant adult needs to be there. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say.
Because without that, right, you're just sort of running around and you're kind of... And I've seen 8-9-year-old kids running out there on Friday night, just running from, you know, the gas station to... I mean, you know, when you're 8 or 9, usually if you've got tougher parents, or at least you're not out there running at 10 o'clock at night. I mean, somebody's watching you.
That's right.
And so, and you've seen those kids. I mean...
I see them every day.
Right. So, I mean, somebody's got to step up. I mean... Do you agree with the late Milt McPike, who was the principal of East High, when he said, well, if you can't reach a child by the time they're 14, it's too late? He actually thought that was true.
No, I don't think that's true, because I've worked with young people in high school, and you can reach them. You just have to put a lot more effort into it. But the thing you got to do when kids are growing up in traumatic experiences, either broken homes or mom and dad are arguing all the time, or they see violence, or... You know, they don't have what they need. They don't have the emotional connection to their parents or some adult in their life that can give them that really emotional support that they need. You know, those kids are harder to work with, but if you can provide that to them, you know, and you just stick with them, a lot of times those young people will come around. Now, if there is a medical, you know, neurological related issue where they might need some medication or some other deeper therapy, you got to identify that issue and deal with that too. And I think we're dealing with a lot more of that than we realize, because drugs have had such a negative and adverse impact on the health and wellness of people in our community for 3 decades.
Oh boy, there's so much. But you know, we've been talking about this stuff for a long time. I know you probably your entire conscious life. I mean, these issues have been real. I remember as a little kid, I remember Bobby Kennedy. I remember this stuff on the news when I was 7 or 8 years old. I mean, nothing's really changed that dramatically, although I think some of the statistics are worse in terms of socioeconomic outcomes for people of color. Certainly the achievement gap has widened academically. But do we start in the short run? Because you said, you know, the guns are unacceptable and so forth, and the mayor came down hard on the Yang-style stuff. I mean, do we need more? In my mind, you know, we could use more officers. When I talk to people who live in high-crime areas, they want more patrols. They want more officers. Is that something that we can say is necessary?
You know, I do think. I think that, you know, we do need more patrol officers. I hate to say that, but, you know, the community's got to respond to the challenges that it faces. And, you know, I've asked this question of officers that I know. It's funny you bring that up because there are officers that volunteer here at the school. And I've asked them, you know, they came in one day and they looked tired. But they're always here once a month reading to the kids, and I'm very attuned to people's moods. I asked them, you know, how you guys doing? You look tired. And they said, oh, we had a double shift. You know, they had to work some overtime, and they explained that some officers really like working overtime, but that it's too much. You know, that they're being called in to fill shifts because if there's a call and they've only got two patrol cars or two, they go in twos, and there's only two groups of two out there, and one gets a domestic call, the other one gets a traffic call, who carries the third one? You know, who carries the fourth one? So with all these things that are going on, they'll call officers in or keep them longer in order to handle those kinds of issues. And it's starting to wear down on them. And so I worry about what is the judgment of the officer if they worked a 16-hour day, you know, or a 14-hour shift.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
there's a lot of challenges. So from the standpoint of the community wanting more protection, I understand that. But also I think from the officers, we've got to look at adding some more officers in the community to help.
You know, we've talked about this, and you debated once Jed Sanborn on another station, and he talked about the need for fathers, and we've all talked about that. But somebody will say, hey, maybe the father's in jail. You don't give up on the two-year-old. I'm going to come back with Kaleem Carey. Get your calls as well, 210-1667, 210-1667. We're talking about gun violence in Madison. We're talking about what to do about it, root causes, all of that. On the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
At Troy Research, we understand that success is determined by your customers. To realize the greatest success possible, you need to understand what they want and why. Your customers have opinions to share with you. As researchers, our assignment is to gather those opinions, illuminate the issues, and shed the light of understanding on decision-making. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research at 608-271-8884 or email jlittle@troyresearch.com.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bobabella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bobabella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
The great Joe DiMaggio still holds the major league record for the longest hitting streak in 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com, BucksPizzaMadison.com.
As life celebrations bring people together, you'll be comforted knowing we have community rooms available for those who wish to serve food and refreshments before, during, or after your gathering. This is Pete Gunderson. We're here to assist with every detail. Learn more at GundersonFH.com. Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson Funeral Home.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
We're talking to Gleam Care about gun violence in Madison. These programs, Michael Johnson of the Boys and Girls Clubs has dropped out this publicly funded anti-violence program. We've had cases where we've had clergy and community leaders put together a 15-point program to try to work with youth and have more peacemakers. All this stuff intended to do intervention and consultation, but a lot of this stuff hasn't even, it takes forever to get contracts written. And Gleam Care, I don't know how much good it's going to do in terms of people that are at the point of using guns against each other. I mean, is that just too late for that crowd? Gleam Care.
No, man, it's not too late, Mitch. People got to intervene. You know, some of these young people out here carrying guns are afraid, and that's why they carry them. Unfortunately, some of them will use them. There are others who like the excitement of being in a gang, or and they're willing to pull that trigger. And, you know, they don't have empathy. They don't have common sense. I mean, we're seeing a lot of all of those issues. So, number one, yeah, we got to have security in these communities. We've got to have community members that are willing to say, hey, there's some bad stuff going on over there. So officers and people know what to deal with. But beyond that, man, we've got to start looking at ways we strengthen these communities from the ground up, from the womb, you know, from the babies.
And we ended.
That's the point I was making about the school that I posted.
Right. I want to get to it. But we ended the break on the whole fatherhood thing, because I know that fathers, for a variety of reasons, aren't always there, which I think is terrible, regardless of income. But if the father isn't there, it's not the fault of the one-year-old, right? So when people just wash their hands and say they need fathers, well, guess what? If they're one or two, they don't have one around. We don't just give up on the one- or two-year-old, right, Gleam?
That's right.
So, I mean, somebody has stepped to the plate. I mean, in your case, your aunt did. You know, and let's face it, you turned out pretty damn well. But it sounds to me like she was a strong personality.
You know, say that one more time, Mitch.
I was going to say, it sounds like your aunt was very strong in terms of a mentor for you.
But we had a community of support, too. So she had my grandmother, my aunts, uncles, who are all ready to pitch in to help. And a lot of these young people now, they have families that are disconnected themselves. They don't have... they don't have grandparents, aunts, uncles near that'll help out, or the system of their family is not strong. You know, there's a lot of drama going on in those extended families. And so these kids, they end up growing up to become these adults that do things that harm people. And we're seeing that too often. And now I think there's got to be some conflicts that are causing all of these shootings, because normally there's retaliations and things going on. But the police have said, and I know this back in D.C. when I was living out there, you know, there are no more big gangs. They're just crews. So they could be neighborhood crews. You could have three or four crews in the neighborhood. So there could be, like, multiple conflicts, different conflicts going on, and then trying to get their hands around that is tough.
Yeah, I was on the paper where Michael Johnson dropped out of whatever programs he was not happy with, and then we see where the mayor's plan to give up to $1,000 to an informant of where illegal guns are being housed or where they were being used. No one's called. He's had no calls on that, which tells me there's not a great incentive to snitch out there.
No, it's not. And then a lot of those people that might be the ones that snitch. They might be packing too, Mitch, you know.
No.
But I do think that it's still, and I think that's a wise incentive. There are other cities that are doing the same thing. Some are having success, some are not.
Worth a try, yeah.
Yes, yeah, worth a try. You know, so, but again, the thing is the system of the family is broken. If the kids are if we have children, they say, you know, what Frederick Douglass said, it's easier to build strong children than repair broken men. And it's so true. But we allow these kids, you know, either as their parents or the community
well,
to grow up.
You know what, and you're an educator.
Challenging situation.
Sorry about that, Kaleem. You're an educator and you're trying to establish preschools. I was a sub for a little while last spring, K through 12, in an area school system. And I got to tell you, I mean, the discipline was an issue. I mean, the point where I was a bit stunned by it. I mean, there were a number of people in each class that were just not at all interested in doing what we told them. And I had a sixth grade choir one day, and I had a counselor and another teacher myself to handle this class. I mean, it was just really... It was almost like a movie. There were kids that would go to the gym and shoot around to get out of their other class. And I thought they're just in there for a reason. So I said, no, they can't be in here. And I go, well, you can't be in here. And they just smiled and kept shooting. I mean, it was just amazing. I think they needed you there, Kaleem, to kind of lay down the law.
Yeah, man. I wish, you know. I wish I had the opportunity to help lay down the law more for some of these people, you know, some of these young people in these communities. They need a combination of, you know, they need love. That's most important for them. They need to be nurtured. It has to be intentional, you know, cultivated to be something, to be somebody. They've got to be encouraged constantly to strive through challenges and overcome. They've got to be shown how to be a good citizen, a good steward, a good peer, you know, a good partner, team member, and then they've also got to be held accountable when they get out of line. And I can tell you in those five things, we've dropped the ball in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And parents have dropped the ball, you know, that my son was at a house over the weekend playing Call of Duty, my little 10-year-old. I'm like, my son can't play that game, you know.
What's the game again?
Call of Duty.
Oh, it's an awesome video game for what it looks like. I can't play video games.
It's too sophisticated for me, but the blood and stuff like that, we don't do that. We don't let our kid play that. But there are a lot of families out here. You'll see kids 6, 7, 8, 9 years old playing things like that, and they get fascinated with these weapons that kill, and they're drawn. If somebody says, hey, here, hold this gun, they're drawn to, oh, yeah, let me check it out. When I was a kid, I did have one time a guy say, hey, check this out. A gang member, a guy we knew, he pulled his waist back. Man, we ran. You know, we weren't trying to hold a gun. You know, they had a different meaning to us back then. So these kids are just desensitized to violence, so much so that they're more willing to commit it.
I agree totally. You know, which is another reason why should we revisit, I know you feel we should probably, the Madison Prep, your idea for a school, a charter school to encourage more teachers of color and try to establish that connection between the faculty and the homes and so forth, which was defeated by the school board. But is this the kind of thing that causes us all to revisit the concept?
I would hope so. You know, I mean, it's still a live proposal. It's sitting there, the school district, you know, we submitted a proposal. We got it through DPI's scrutiny. We've got it through every bit of scrutiny, budget. I'm sure they would want to look at something like that again. But, you know, it's certainly sitting there waiting for somebody to say, hey, let's go. And for me, you know, I have this organization now. My board has had discussions. How much can we take on as one organization? But there's ways to do this because my interest is in building a pipeline from birth to career, birth to college/career, where we show people that if we re-engineer education, where we're dealing with children as young as we can and their parents too, because we're a two-generation model here at our school. We work with our families, man. There's not this where you just drop your kid off and then you come pick them up or they ride the bus home. And that's how Madison Prep was designed too. It was variant. It had required a lot of involvement from families.
Well, I hope they bring it back. Yeah.
Also, we help families. You know, we help families get jobs and connect to things here. housing when they run into home housing issues. We're interested in launching a stock investment club so that families can start seeing, you know, you can invest in little penny stocks. They can do different things to start saving and getting used to that for their kids for the future. And we got to do that stuff.
Well, the number to call is 210-1667, 210-1667, area code 608. Kaleem, care for a couple of more minutes as we discuss Madison gun violence, what to do. I think a lot of people, they just want to be safe in the short run. This last shooting happened about a block from where I used to live. I mean, it gets a little close to home. I used to live on Park Edge, and one day my kids and I are coming back from it. NCAA game, and there were five cop cars in front of the building across from our place, and a man ran out with a baseball bat. My daughter said, "Can we go in the back?" I said, "Sure." A little bit, who is that? Nobody. Okay. Oh, yeah, the chief. All right, well, hey, Kaleem Kerr, we thank you very much. You're always great to talk to.
Thanks, man.
They listen to you because you got a lot of answers. And you can also hear Kaleem's podcasts, which are really good, on madisontalks.com. And give me the One City website.
OneCityEarlyLearning.org.
OneCityEarlyLearning.org, because the more you learn, the more you know, the more you know, the farther you go. Let's go Dr. Seuss on this whole crowd.
That's right.
Thank you, Kaleem. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
man. All right, Chief Koval, Mike Koval on the line, and we'll get his perspective, too, on the latest shooting and some of the other issues that have come up with shots fired and the rest, and the social debate, which always fascinates me. And this is the Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy, Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Hague.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. What do you say to people who feel guilty about hiring a lawyer when they're injured or harmed by a company?
Well, there's a stigma that's been developed over the years where people are made to feel guilty about bringing a claim because of injuries. I have yet to meet a person or take on a client who woke up in the morning and said, "Geez, I'm going to go out and I hope I get in an accident today so I can make some money." People come in because they genuinely need help, and they're overmatched against a large insurance company. So we try to get them fair compensation and understand that it's probably a time that's very traumatic for them. They need someone on their side to guide them through the process that they're unfamiliar with.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
We're back live, Mitch Hanks Show, MadisonTalks.com, Facebook Live. Madison Police Chief Mike Koval joins me now, and hello, Chief.
Hey, how are you, Mitch?
Well, I'm doing okay, and we just talked to Kleem Kerr, who had a lot of things to say, but even Kleem was certainly in favor of more officers on the streets in the short run, talked about some other issues too, but I think, isn't that where we are with the people in the community? Certainly, I'm in favor of it. I talk to people who live in at-risk neighborhoods who are in favor of that. But yet we have this dynamic in Madison, which you can't, I'm sure, talk about too much, but there's this need for both investigating the police and refusing requests for more officers. So it seems like there's a disconnect between political leaders and the people on the street.
Well, I think that's probably a fair synopsis, Mitch. I would concede that. As you well know, I tried in late April to give a thumbnail sketch of a particularly prolific eight-hour stretch where we had two armed robberies, both savagely administered to their victims, as well as four confirmed shots fired called with shell casings and property damage. And in context to that, I really felt the need, at the urging also of our public information officer, Joel Despain, who could not recall such a spate of violence, that we really needed to get out in front of it because y'all in the media were blitzkrieging them. And so I said, fine. And as a result of sort of using that as a sort of a lens, a reality lens on what's happening in our community, I was sort of called out and dressed down and told and admonished that there'll be no place for that in the context of trying to jockey for position in the budgetary game. And so I'm trying to be circumspect in that, but at the same time, I feel I'm duty-bound to talk about these issues because those are not isolated offenses, as we've seen, regrettably, as a community over the past few months.
Well, what doesn't change is the conflict in debate. Progressives will say because of the gun show loopholes in Indiana is causing the problems, and conservatives, or the factory closed 10 years ago and there's no hope, or conservatives will talk about the lack of fathers. Can we all say that fathers are important regardless of our political bent?
Amen. I think you should be our latter-day saint of Henry Kissinger here. If you can create that healthy common ground between those sort of factions, then there is a political future for you. God knows I have not mastered it, as anyone can attest to.
Well, I mean, I was there at that famous meeting. We've talked about it about 10 years ago, St. Marie Goretti. They wanted like 60 more cops, and I think they added like 30. I'm not sure what the final thing was.
It was 30. They wanted 50. They ended up with 30. And you could knock me over with a feather if I could get anything like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, people want to be safe in the short run. Then we can talk all we want about root causes, but this idea that midnight basketball is going to solve all our problems, or we can have a 15-point plan to have more peacemakers. Well, once we reach the point of having guns used against other human beings, we're kind of late in the game, aren't we? The fourth quarter, parking lot's half empty?
I agree. I agree completely with that because I am not against, as you know, I'm not against creating some social safety nets and preventive measures looking at a four-quarter game, if you will. But you're right, to use your metaphor, that doesn't help me right here with the reality of the fact that our shots fired is clearly up over 63% over what it was last year at this time. We've got 78% of those calls being targeted. We've got 53 instances where those shots fired are generating property damages. And we have over 25 people who have been if not indirectly, hit by bullets and or the shrapnel it's caused or by the glass shattering. So that's very tangible for me. That's what I have to do. My premise is the win theory. You know, I'm going to invoke my favorite Lou Holtz from the coach of Notre Dame. So
go ahead, coach. Yeah.
For my practical existence and survival, it's what's important now. What's important now is we need to address what's happening in real time before we can build that new city on a hill that everybody wants, and so do I. We got to put out the fire. And the fire is that the house is on fire. So that's the problem. That's what's at conflict here.
I was reading the story today, talked about the mayor's proposed up to $1,000 reward for information about illegal guns, guns used illegally in crimes and so forth, or illegally held. Mm-hmm. And it said there had been no calls yet. No calls. I mean,
Well, and again, I guess everybody is grasping for whatever things that they think might make a difference in saving lives. And so I'm not faulting anybody for their suggestions, but in terms of substantive effects, in terms of moving the needle, what we really need are those people to feel whether they, you know, we have Crime Stoppers, so we can literally, if you can get us information and that information can help us make some arrests, we actually can not only cloak you with anonymity, you can be assigned a number, a check can be written to the informant or the anonymous tipster, and we'll never have face-to-face contact with those individuals. So we do sort of have a mechanism in place for things like that. And frankly, we need people in the community talking and coming forward much more so than sort of the ceremonial programs that people get trotted out that have limited or varying successes.
Well, I would wonder, too, and I know it's not your job to be a social engineer. Your job is to enforce the law. But having been a substitute teacher in recent times, I mean, the lack of discipline is often a topic of interest with other veteran subs. You know, they'll compare it to 20 years ago or 30. I mean, it really is disturbing. And you can talk about it all day long. But, I mean, when you compare it to when you were young or when I was younger, you couldn't do the things that are being done now and get away with it. I mean, so say what
you
will.
Absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, I do, in fact, have some teacher friends who are colleagues who are now retired. A, there was a beeline of these teachers that were taking early retirement incentives and options because some of the atmospheric conditions has become so toxic and they don't feel supported. And some of them now, even though subbing, have expressly stated that there are some middle schools that they will not go to. They just will not go back there because the environment is so enabling or so non-supportive of any sort of disciplinary cues that it's just not worth whatever money they're making that day. So I don't think that's a perception. My research says that that's a very heartfelt reality that I hear a lot.
Well, I remember being falsely accused of throwing a paper wad when another kid threw it, and his teacher grabbed me by the hair. And he said, "You want to play? You want to play?" And I said, "No, I don't, actually." But, I mean,
Are you sure you weren't a product of Catholic school? That sounds like a good foundation.
Well, this was a public school, but if you grab a kid by the hair now over a paper wad, I mean, you'd be facing hard time.
Oh, you know it. You know it.
I'm not advocating for violence.
I get it. But
in the schools,
the times have definitely changed the attitudes and the tolerances. You know, and I am completely empathetic to the plight and the challenges of the public school system. We've talked about this before. If you've got 27,000 students, and half of them qualify for federal breakfast, lunch, and dinner subsidies, you've got an impoverished group of kids.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
number becomes even more exacerbated by those kids who have enrolled and self-identified as kids of color. That number rises to 70%. So the challenges are very real for today's educator as well, and I'm completely empathetic with it, but I do think that in some regards that we do a disservice to our youth when There's a greater deal, more of toleration supplied for the classroom behavior or lack thereof, or the lack of decorum. And then if that same behavior manifests itself, let's say, in a food court on a weeknight, the kid's scratching because he doesn't understand why the police officer is escorting them out for a disorderly conduct ticket.
Well, and good luck with your job interview down the road. I mean, you know, there's a lack of tolerance in that area. You know,
yeah.
Spend enough with misspelled words on your resume. I mean, there's just got to be a reality. But as we wrap things up, Chief, I would think that what about community? We talk about community policing. I know it's great when you have the police officer or officers in the neighborhood developing relationships with youth. That's great. Is that why do we do that more? Just funding, lack of money?
Well, quite frankly, our ability to do that is also a fact of life because of the staffing. There was an Etico, a commission study that the city paid over $50,000 for a number of years ago. And they basically said, if you truly want to subscribe to the tenets of community policing, then in an hour of an officer's time, 30% should, 50% of that should be obligated time doing calls for service and reporting, and the other 30 minutes should be for the engagement, the outreach, the creating those opportunities for trust building. And because the calls for service have gone up and our staffing is at critical mass, we're finding over the course of workload analysis that our time to do the engagement stuff is starting to diminish. It's starting to suffer. And that's another reason we need staffing, because if all we're going to be as cops, as traditional call and responders, only coming when there's crisis, only coming when a ticket needs to be written or someone needs to get hauled off to jail, then that is clearly not going to be a mechanism to win the hearts and minds and build trust,
no,
particularly among our underrepresented minority population.
I have noticed, though, that police cars or cruisers or whatever have more lights now. I see the lights.
God,
it's like a Christmas tree.
I mean, babe, yeah, you kidding?
I mean, it just like gives me a what's going on here. I had one of those. I had a taillight out once, and I had this massive display of lights right on me. I was scared to death.
Well, I'll tell you, today I pulled over. You know, I'm trying to be the pace car at the Indy 500 on that damn Beltline.
Yes.
So understanding I'm going to create a traffic quagmire, I may have, truth be told, be trying to go about 60 in a posted 55. I admit it.
Yeah.
So as people are, one lady literally blew my doors off going 80, and so I felt compelled to pull her over. And when I got my big toe out of the car, I can see why we light up these cars. I felt like I was the matador in a bull ring playing Olé. I thought I was going to be killed.
Oh, my.
So, yes, they light those things up for a reason.
Well, I must say it gets your attention, that's for sure.
It does.
Now, I'm one of those people, I might as well confess, I'm a person who, when I see a police car, I just feel guilty automatically. Because whatever I've done...
I'm telling you, I know you weren't raised as such, but I think you have a healthy DNA of Catholic guilt.
Well,
I really believe that.
Well, my mother was Italian and full Catholic, so we...
Well, there you go.
My father was Methodist. We're kind of mixing back and forth.
I didn't even have to charge you at Ancestry.com. I could just read it in your thought patterns.
But I'm telling you, all the guilty things I've done my whole life come to the fore every time I see a police officer. There's got to
I'll be honest. I think those of us who've even been in the trade, when we see that lights going up, I used to recruit in 5 states, and I had been pulled over once or twice, and my heart goes a pitter patter, not to mention wondering how I was going to explain that to my boss.
Well, what should we say to the patrolman who says, do you want to know, tell me why you were going 10 miles over the speed limit? I mean, what is a good answer there, Chief? I'm just curious, just with your...
I'll tell you. First of all, everybody has their own sort of what's your internal tolerance level, and sometimes that changes because if it's the beginning of school and you're doing school zone enforcement, it's going to be a little bit more draconian. If you're on the Beltline and you can actually get ahead of steam, which I find near impossible with all the traffic construction, that will vary because of the pace of the traffic and the time of day. You know, again, we're not being...
I don't think your officers... I'm talking about maybe the Fox Valley Patrol officer. I've had some bad experiences. So I think your cops are well-trained there.
But
well,
man.
I'll tell you, the other day, one of my motorcycle cops came in, and you thought that the guy had hooked a muskie. He felt the need to come in off the street and hold up proudly his readout on his taser. And he was on the Beltline. A woman blew by him. He pulled over, pulled her over on laser. "What do you think you were going, ma'am?" She says, "Oh, probably 80, 85. She was going 102.
Oh, said, my.
Yeah. I guess I was moving. But she took her medicine. She did not dispute it.
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when you're guilty, you're guilty. But I just look at the cop and I say, well, I'm just a worthless human being. I mean, what am I going to say? I was a failed child. You know, I just,
no,
you know.
My deal is, for me, my own personal predilection is that, A, if you actually acknowledge and say, you got me.
You
I'm
got
sorry.
Me, yeah. Oh, sure.
I tend to be a lot more lenient than playing these games. And the other thing is, quite frankly, my thing is I ask people, so what am I going to find when I run your driver's license? What kind of a driver's license do you have? Is this an anomaly or sort of what you get?
No. You're going to have fun with that one. I'll see. Go ahead.
The woman I pulled over today said, you are going to find that I have an impeccable record. I said, okay, well, let's make a deal. If I find any moving points, because today you're 15 over. If I find any moving points, it's going to be paper time. And she was good as gospel, good to her word, as so was I. I said,
good for her.
Drive on.
Well, did I ever tell you, and I shouldn't do this, but it was like 10 years ago or 15 or whatever the case, and I think I had two Long Island iced teas and like two screwdrivers after golf, and I was legally dead, I think, when I drove downtown. I was going to the karaoke or something, and I think I turned left on the red light right by the police station or something, and the guy puts the lights on, and I remember my friend had this dark look on his face like I was going to the dungeon, and he walked over, and I knew I was just screwed for, you know, and I just said, oh, hello there, officer, I can't believe when I did that. I go, man, you look familiar. And he kind of went, oh, I go, Mitch Hank, how you doing? And he just goes, maybe the farmer's market, that's where it was. And I go, it's good to see you again. And I swear to God, he said, okay, well, I'll just give you a warning. But
there you go. But I will tell you, though, anytime, you know, you could be a 0.35, and the officer gets, what are you drinking tonight? Two or three beers, and I wonder, what's the size of those tankard? It's always two or three beers for some reason.
Well, I know. But I got to tell you, I've been so horrified by that experience that I've not had more than like two sips since, you know, going in the car.
I have more than compensated for your digression with my Jameson. So.
Oh, jeez. Well, Chief, it's great to have you on the show, and I know you're out there trying to protect people, but I think regardless of background or race or anything else, people want to be safe first.
Yeah,
and then we can
and
argue.
I'll tell you, last night, Mitch, great outpouring at the community room. It sort of had that vibe, that feel of St. Maria Goretti's from 2007, 2008, whatever it is. And I think people clearly are at their wits' ends. This has gone beyond the domain of their perceptions. They feel it, and so do we. And there are statistical support for some of those concerns. We haven't lost the streets by any means. We're doing better in just about all of our other categories. But in this area of gun violence, we're clearly trending the wrong direction. We got to do better, and we will.
Chief Koval, great to have you on the show. And, if we get to basketball, then I hope Butler beats Notre
can't
Dame.
Wait.
But all right.
Notre Dame's looking good right now. We're looking good. I like our backcourt.
Oh, well, he's a good coach, man.
He is good.
A lot of turtlenecks. Thank you, Chief. Chief, we appreciate it. That was Chief Koval, and it's great to have him on the show. And we'll come back with more on this on the Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do? Maybe you got a birthday coming up. You want to get the family together? Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to madisoncomedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. We book the best comics from Late Night, from Conan O'Brien, from Comedy Central.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. madisoncomedy.com or 256-0099.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
Tim's so sold our new construction house in a matter of hours. And on top of that, we sold it above the asking price. That's a great testament to him. He priced it perfectly and talked about its features to a T.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
This is Kirk Dobbins, Badger Hockey alum. I highly recommend Tim Rail.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience, working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
I just read a Facebook, but what kind of a show is this? It's a talk show. We talk. I'm not going to dance. I'm not going to take my shirt off. I'll tell you that right now. We have a talk show, which at madisontalks.com. It's the website and Facebook Live, and we are soon going to unveil some new things and tell you all about some changes going on as we put our nuts in a row. Now, I mean, you know, like squirrel nuts. I don't want to be dirty. Or gather our berries, put it that way.
Digging a hole.
By the way, I found, you know, Columbo is like one of my favorite shows, and I've seen every Columbo on Netflix. It's a 70s detective show, Peter Falk. And they had some new shows, like 10 years later, they brought the show back, which almost never happened. Same show 10 years later.
Revamp it.
And I thought I'd seen every show. But I found a show I had not seen, but it was in the new band of shows, yeah, like 10 years later, which I was probably off in college or whatever I was doing. And I saw that show. Now I'm excited because there may be more shows.
There's more.
More Columbos I've not seen. Show of hands, who else is a Columbo fan? Have you ever seen Columbo?
I've seen it for sure. I haven't seen all of them.
It's really one thing that really bothers me. You know, why would you take one contact lens? He messes with the mind of the murderer.
Right.
Yeah. Then they cut to the scene and it's like they look. But now there's so many commercials. It's just I have to record the show so I can go through the because today. There was a show that was live. I had part of it, but I got to the live, and there were all the commercials. It was like you had like 5 minutes of commercials. It's awful.
Easy, yeah.
And they're showing these 1970s and 80s detective shows and Heart to Heart and Murder, She Wrote and all that kind of stuff. I don't think I ever saw one Murder, She Wrote. I don't know if you've ever seen that with Angela. No, well, you haven't missed much. But Columbo, the greatest show. And I think Peter Falk died, but... He's a great actor. That was a great show. I loved that show. A lot of people didn't like it, but, you know, you had to kind of pay attention. And he was solving a murder. But sometimes, though, he cuts to the chase at the end. The lab boys. It was the lab boys. You know, you could have known that like 40 minutes earlier, right? So you build up this whole thing, and he solves it because he has the lab stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, they found blood and paint thinner on this rag. And the color, what if I'd used a clean rag?
Good stuff.
The one with Dick Van Dyke where he was the photographer, killed his wife. He goes, well, we don't have a... They had a negative where it's reversed, right?
Oh,
the
yeah,
clock.
Yep,
and he goes, well, we lost the other negative, so it's all we have. And Peter and Dick Van Dyke, what is this? The railroad? He goes, I'll show you. And he goes over and finds the murder camera, and he incredits himself. He goes, if I wouldn't have picked up that damn camera. True. You're right. And Peter Falk goes, yes, sir, that's true.
Yes, sir.
Officer, and he takes him away. I always thought it was cool because the murderer, in real life, they didn't commit the murder. I always found solace in knowing that the actual murder didn't happen in real life.
Yeah.
So the guy's got the rock and he's coming, and the victim always goes, ah, and they cut to the whatever. We've got Jeff Dickens coming up. We haven't dealt with President Trump. By the way, you notice how people don't say President Trump?
No, they don't.
They just go Trump.
Yeah, Trump.
And my daughter just texted me. She's not happy with the president. He did the transgender ban today in the military. And I mean, there are reports that it's like 0.3% of the population, but I have transgender listeners. And I emailed Laura, who calls in. I said, do you have time tonight? I was too busy. But, it's always kind of a sad thing. But now we have a guest who's going to compare the Ken Starr investigation to the Robert Mueller investigation. Now the media are dealing with this one compared to the last one. That's coming up. News is next. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.